Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift in hearts and minds the wisdom of the saints, the magisterium, and the tradition of the church to help us to navigate the tumult of this very challenging life. And today we continue a deep dive into the wisdom of St. John Paul II with respect to what it means to know and worship and follow God and to live out what I would call a Christian ethos or a Christian Christ-centric understanding of relationships and spousal relationships.
Mm-hmm. And just any kind of relationship, right?
But mostly spousal we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right. So we're on chapter 4 of Given. Is it Givenness?
Givenness.
That's the title. Mm-hmm. Redemption of the body. So I don't want to just kind of jump to the end conclusion. I'd like to make sure we walk through some of the key ideas step by step. So what's the first idea that struck you in this part of the reflection? I can tell you what mine is if you want me to start. It's up to you.
What struck me in this, and talking about the strivings of the human soul, the longing for beauty, which is what leads us to our spousal union, to marriage, right?
In a holy way. Anyway.
In a holy way. I mean, that's the longing for beauty is what leads us in that direction. He places that not only for him, our longing for him, the beauty of him, but also then he places it in his heart, in our hearts, for the person who's going to be our spouse, right?
Yeah.
You feel like you need to.
Well, so I just want to make one point about beauty itself.
Okay.
I think sometimes we think in terms of beauty being what we see.
Mm-hmm. No, it's far beyond that.
Yeah. So
it's encounter.
Right.
Right.
So the longing for beauty does include what we see, but it also includes olfactory touch. It includes all of your senses.
And ultimately, it happens on a spiritual level, from the core of our being. You know,
that longing emanates
from there,
from a desire from the design of God to be in union with Him,
right?
Which is to participate in beauty, goodness, and truth,
right?
So we have that longing because we long for redemption,
right?
You know, I love the prologue of the Catechism where it says that God, from the moment of our conception, is constantly calling us
to Himself.
To Himself.
Right.
And so He calls us to Himself both directly, in a sense, through the priesthood, He calls Him through the entire divine economy, but He also, which is the church and the hierarchy and the doctrines and all of these things, but He also draws us to Himself through others that He's given to us, which is why we're always rooted back into Genesis, where Eve is given to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and He says, finally, this one is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone.
Right. This one is like me.
Right.
And so there can be a companionship. Right. And if there wasn't a necessity or a value in that relationship, in a need for Adam to be fulfilled, He wouldn't have created woman.
Right.
So there is it's a spiritual and a material or human realm, if you will, necessity for that union.
Right. 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 And some may say, what about a priest? What about a sister? Well, that becomes a sacrifice of love to the Lord.
Right.
To become one with Him. So I just want to set that up.
And He does, of course, give through graces that we can't necessarily understand. Maybe some theologian can explain it, spousal love, but in a way that
it still bears fruit.
Yes.
You know, it still bears life, right? Well, one of the things that I was struck where he starts with this is that man can clutter up his civilization with substitutes in there seeking for this beauty,
right?
Right. So they're, because they're not properly aligned with the Lord, maybe they're not converted. Maybe they haven't been shown this. Maybe they haven't been taught it. You know, in my love and service to those who need to go through healing, I can tell you that the brokenness of families, generational, you know, lines, the brokenness of just how to interact as human beings, and the examples that we have as mothers and fathers in our you know, families of origin, can lead us to not have any understanding of what beauty is, our own beauty and dignity and worth, and even what that looks like in a family. We can come away from our families of origins with very skewed, very broken radars, as it is, for what I'm supposed to seek and what I'm supposed to look for. And we start repeating patterns because it needs to be healed. So he says, because of this, what we do is we're seeking, but not in a rightly ordered way. And so we go find addictions, pornography, inebriations, all these other things that substitute for what we really desire and need, which is one with him, and also with a holy encounter with our other.
You know, not to be overly manly or base about the kind of the describing what you just said, we have an engine within us that has a design, and that engine is designed by God to compel us to God. Mm-hmm. Because of original sin, the engine is partly disoriented, the religion, in terms of its directionality.
It's sputtering.
Yeah, well,
it's to be cleaned out.
It has energy, it has drive, but its directional clarity is mitigated or diminished by original sin. Mm-hmm. So it has power, energy, drive to beauty, but original sin gets it off of true north. Mm-hmm. And that happens every day, by the way, through concupiscence and any acts that are not in accord with God. So that's a distortion of the directionality of that engine to find real beauty. And then what you said is the navigational units of that engine are also distorted dramatically, mm-hmm, by our upbringing,
right,
and the messages we get, you know, because the engine inherently knows where true north is, but it can be lied to, if you will. A computer can be manipulated and given wrong instructions about its identity and its true north, mm-hmm, and it can be lied to. And then when the human person then attempts to fulfill that design in the context of those lies, they choose means that further reinforce the lies, mm-hmm, and result in despair.
Right, because, you know, and he speaks about this. You know, he says this loving, disinterested love that we're created for, right? This perfect selflessness, as it was, that we're designed
for. That's what disinterested means. It means not interested.
It means perfect selflessness, that my design is that I want to give myself completely to you for your good.
Right.
You know,
and disinterested means it doesn't matter if you receive anything in return. It's you're only concerned about giving.
Right. It's, yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm not looking to get something out of it outside of pure love.
Right.
Right. Like, that's perfect, yeah, selflessness.
Yeah.
That's Christ crucified, right,
yeah,
on the cross. So he says, you know, that gets supplanted by this urge to take possession of another and use that person, right? I need to grasp at you. I need to use you to satisfy what I need, what at the core of me is broken. And in that grasping, I'm grasping at something that harms you, but ultimately who it really harms is me.
Yeah.
You know,
and to bring this down to like real experience, the desire in and of itself can have goodness in it. Mm-hmm. How it is expressed also corrupts,
yes,
it and keeps it from reaching its ultimate ends. So a man is looks at a woman and she's attracted, the engine inside says, she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. You should go there. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, in the context of marriage, there's only one person my engine should properly point at. And if it's not, then I know there's distorted, you know, information being put about what's going on. But she's good. She's beautiful. You should go there. Now, there's a way you can go the way we went when we were courting, not perfect, but just the general direction was to honor God in that context and to seek out only that which he mm-hmm. has given to you and to me in the proper context of when all of that should occur.
Mm-hmm. In marriage. Yeah.
But before we were married, mm-hmm. you know, I had relationships where my engine said, she's beautiful, she's good, you pursue her. But as soon as you do it in a way that is contrary to God's design, you destroy.
What's, yeah, you destroy the relationship, you destroy the other, you and destroy
you,
yourself.
You go to sin, and even that good design then ends up being the use of another to essentially, I don't know, I want to use inebriate or mm-hmm. satisfy, but not in a healthy, you know, it's like somebody has a thirst for alcohol yeah. and they satisfy that thirst and then they're drunk. Well, that's not a good satisfaction. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, that is at the core of it, right? We're talking about the human person and the unity of the two people. But even the disorder of inebriation, more possessions, more alcohol, more porn, more food, more money, more whatever it is, all of that is rooted in a brokenness of what should only be properly ordered to the Lord and then properly ordered in a loving relationship.
And so you're, that drive the engine has, given the wrong information, which is, you know, I love the illustration, the Thomistic illustration of intellect, will, and then your passions. Mm-hmm. Because the intellect isn't oriented to God, your passions are determining what to pursue and how, and then your will is essentially a slave of your passions.
Right.
And that leads you, that turns the engine to go south, not true north.
Right.
It ends south being
destructive,
demonic,
yeah,
devil,
demonic,
hell, right. You know, whatever. So when we get back from the break, I want to talk about some advice, and I don't know if it's the right time, but you tell me. I want to talk about some advice that a pastor gave someone who was struggling with intimacy in their marriage that is down the hole of hell rather than the pathway to heaven.
Yeah, let's do it when okay. we get right back. When all we get back.
Hey friends, this is Dan and Stephanie Burke. If this series has been moving to you and the wisdom of John Paul II has drawn your heart to some kind of vision of a deeper possibility of a deeper relationship with your spouse and the Lord, we have a retreat that will take you there. It's called Divine Intimacy in Marriage. And whether your marriage is good, it can be great, or it's bad and needs to be healed and better, whatever the difficulties you have, pre-marriage even come. A lot of times the couples come, they'll send their kids who are engaged. It'll be a great experience to continue the wisdom that you've heard from this series.
Yeah, we've seen so much incredible fruit from it. And just really miracle after miracle after it, by God's glory. So if you'd like to join us, you can head out to spiritualdirection.com/events for all of our events, but particular our Divine Intimacy in Marriage retreats. Our next one will be at St. Augustine Cathedral in downtown Tucson, Valentine's Day weekend in 2026. Come join us to make your marriage what it can be. Amen.
Dan and Stephanie Burke, welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest, talking about human sexuality and our relationship with God and one another.
It may be an example of what not to do.
Yeah. So we're talking about the engine that we have that drives us to beauty. True North is properly ordered when our intellect is oriented to what's good, true, and beautiful in God. Our will is then corresponds to our intellect, and our passions follow.
Right.
Wrecking the compass of that engine, which then drives us to selfishness, destruction, and despair.
Use of another use of ourselves.
Is because we're not orienting our minds to what's true. Our passions drive us, and then our will to fulfill the passions is in how we live. And that leads to despair and destruction of relationships.
Right.
And leads to hell ultimately.
Right.
And I'll give you an example. So we've talked a lot in this course, or this course, this series of conversations. Maybe it should be a course. This series of conversations about how God uses us to lead him to himself,
and to draw us to
one another. In our, will you say it better?
Well, he doesn't use us. How God draws us to himself,
right,
through our design,
right,
you know, through this predilection, this specialness of relationship that he made us for relationship with him. And then he gives us, especially in the relationship to our spouse,
right,
you know, he places that in us. It's an extension of our relationship with him.
So there are ways to come to union or to foster the highest expression of that union between a man and a woman that are according to True North. And there are ways that are proposed that will lead us to despair and to hell, to use of the other. Mm-hmm. And the way you know those ways, before I get into the advice I had one pastor give, a young Protestant pastor gave a seminary, and this is when I was a Protestant. Before I go there, the kind of the telltale signs of whether an approach to sexuality is honoring to this design of God or not is if it results in the use of the other as an object. Mm-hmm. We get a big buzzer noise. Right. Maybe Jordan can add in, our producer can add in with one,
yeah,
of those, you know,
yeah, right.
Use of the others as an object, yeah, big red circle with a slash through it. If it does not treat the other as sacred, this is one thing that when I read this, I went, oh,
yes,
wow.
They are sacred.
And here, so not to go too far out of context of our conversation, we have lost the sense of the sacred.
Yeah.
You know, I think the attempt after the Second Vatican Council to make liturgy more accessible has backfired and made it less sacred.
Right.
And which is why you have so many people flocking to the Latin Mass. The, you know, face the priest facing the people, he becomes a game show host and, you know, a entertainer and all these, whatever. Similarly, and that's the work of the enemy. Similarly, there are pseudo solutions. St. Paul speaks of this. He calls them erats substitutes, or inferior substitutes, mm-hmm, for the design. And the way you know they're inferior, and they can be outright sinful and horrifying all the way to just really unwise or whatever, is if the other person's humanity, individuality is not treated as sacred, meaning like you are walking on ground where God is present.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how to get to the sacred when we are, our liturgies are so banal. And
yeah. 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 You know. I think you can look at Ephesians 5, mm-hmm, and look at the role of the male in particular, because he's the one who primarily pursues.
Yeah.
Right. He's designed to pursue. His whole body, through theology of the body, says, I'm to pursue woman. I'm to pursue my spouse,
yeah,
and give myself to her, right? That everything about him says that.
Yeah.
And everything about a woman's body says, I'm to receive my husband, mm-hmm, receive him into my embrace, that we might become one and bring forth life,
right? Right?
So it's in our design. But in that pursuit, he is called to nurture and cherish.
Right.
As hold an act sacred,
of, as an act of worship.
Right. As an act of worship.
And that's, if you read Ephesians, right, 5, I think it's in that, even the first line.
So any behaviors, anything, like you're going to give an example, that leads to the opposite of nurturing and cherishing and holding sacred is not of the Lord.
Right.
It's not of the Lord, even if the other spouse agrees to it.
Yeah. So right? Here's the bad advice that I heard, and that actually horrified me, is the Protestant seminarian, who was, of course, married, his wife was supposedly frigid, which I say with eyes rolled, you know, and so the pastor said, well, you two need to watch porn together. Mm-hmm. And I just about fell over. And, you know, I don't know what it is. God be praised. I've never had a porn issue, like a long-standing porn issue, because I had a sister, because I had a mother, and because for some reason I intuitively knew this isn't a consensual thing.
Right.
If you study what happens to porn actresses,
watch Sound of Freedom, and you can get a really good sense.
They end up, you know, yeah. I've heard stories and heard testimony. They end up,
yeah, it's terrible,
with light in their eyes, and it goes out eventually.
Yeah.
You know, and it is a gravely demonic and destructive industry.
Yes.
And that's purely demonic. And when you bring that into the sacred space
of the marital union,
it is no different than bringing the devil himself. You might as well put a pentagram on your bed.
Yeah.
And worship Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, and I don't think it's not extreme to say that by any means, because if you think about what is it that the enemy goes after? He goes after the sacred. Mm-hmm. He goes after that which the Lord loves, that he creates, that's for goodness, that's for wholeness and unity and to bring forth life. He goes after that to destroy it, whatever way he can. Porn industry, contraception, use and abuse, you know, divorce, adultery, you know, pick a thing that destroys the marital union, that destroys marriage, which is a reflection of the Blessed Trinity that's supposed to bring forth life, a reflection of who he is. So what are the remedies for this? You know, what are the remedies? What do we do here? Because I even spoke to a couple to help them understand. You know, we minister to couples, and in this particular situation, it's like, purify your union, purify your marital room, your time of marital union, and enter into that space in prayer. You know, enter in that space in a state of grace. You know, I tell people all the time, go to confession, go to mass, go out to dinner, and go home and make a little love, right? Why? Because you're in a state of grace, and then you enter into that as two people that are saying, I love you and I give myself to you as an act of worship. And you love me and I receive you as an act of worship. And you know what? The Lord makes them strong.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's got you so much?
It's so beautiful and it's so good. And if people only understood
what they were trading,
they're starving to death.
What they're giving up.
They're starving to death in their marriages. And then they wonder why there's so much brokenness. They wonder why they're seeking other people. They're seeking substances. They're seeking, you know, inebriation. They're seeking divorce. They're seeking whatever, right? Because they're not being fed. They're literally, spiritually, emotionally starving to death in their marriages. Yeah.
We got to wrap this episode up. I want to do it with the ending here. The marital union is a sacredness that excludes becoming merely an object of use. Everyone, especially every man, must be a guardian, a keeper of the sacredness and dignity of the other. Cain asked, am I my brother's keeper? Thus triggering an unhappy course of civilization and death in human history. Jesus comes into the midst of this civilization and into the midst of Cain's question and responds.
Yes.
And you want to shout.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. You are a guardian. You are a guardian of holiness. You are a guardian of man's dignity in every woman and every man. You are the keeper of the holiness of her body. It is to remain ever an object of your respect, and I'll add reverence.
Then you can rejoice. Then you can rejoice. It's a promise, right? In the beauty with which God has endowed her from the beginning, and she will rejoice in you. She will then feel safe. She will feel safe under her brother's gaze, under her husband's gaze. And she will rejoice in the gift that her woman was created to be. Her womanhood was created to be. It is then that the eternal feminine can once again be an inviolable gift to human civilization, an inspiration for creativity, and a source of beauty given so that we can rise from the dead, right? So much of this comes from the perfect example of this, which is the beauty of woman, the beauty of motherhood, the spousal beauty, which we can find in the Mother of God. That is why Our Lady, he tells us, you know, go through her. He came through her. It speaks to all of that we are. It speaks to a man's heart. It speaks to a woman's heart. It speaks to a married couple. We can look to Our Lady to help heal us and restore us in what is truly good, what is truly beautiful, what is open, what is completely docile to the Holy Spirit, what is complete availability to the Lord. And when we are completely available to the Lord, we can be available to the other. The Holy Spirit can move and bring forth life. That's divine intimacy. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.